invite you to be seated. I apologize for the Barry White voice. It's a result of some sinus drainage. And then yesterday, my son and Jamie Wendell were competing in the regional swim meet, and I yelled too much. So it may seem obvious to you, but I want to ask you a question. I really want you to think about the answer in your mind before I answer this, but this is the question. What is the mission of the church? What is the whole point of people coming to church and worshiping together and then going out into the world? Right? So here we say we empower people to love God, which we call worship, and to love our neighbor, which we call outreach, and to make disciples, which we call nurture, right? And that is what we are about. But I want you to remember that it's our job, it's our calling to go out into the world to share the good news of Jesus, right? Or to teach people to love God. I love the Book of Common Prayer says, the mission of the church is to restore all people, not the ones you like, not the ones you dislike, right? All people to unity with God and each other, which is a fancy way of saying to teach them to love God and love one another. But really, the mission of the church is reconciliation. To take people who are apart, to take people who are apart from God or apart from one another, and to bring them back together. And that is what we're about. And I know that you probably know this, but as I mentioned last week, our world sure seems ignorant of some things. Like last week we said, repent. And that after you repent, you are forgiven. Well, the gospel today, which I'm not really going to preach upon, speaks about the high holy feast day I was telling you, the presentation of our Lord, which at a certain time Jesus was brought to the temple. And it's really important that we know these things because they teach us about who Jesus is. For as we know who Jesus is, we learn what our mission is, right? Because it's Jesus who we follow. He's the one that sets the agenda for the church, and he defines the mission, coming of the Holy Spirit, the church began. Now, I have to tell you, it's a great privilege of mine that I get to meet with some people that some of you will encourage to come to me. And I think you encourage them to come visit with me because of the love and the welcome that I proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ here. So this week, I had a person get to come, a really fine young man. He wasn't raised in the church, and for a good while, we spoke about his life and where he's going and things like that. We also spoke about what is he going to find as, or what is he going to use as the foundation. And of course, because of who I am, we talked about Jesus, right? At one point, he was talking, and he used the word religious. And so I got to thinking to myself, like uncomfortably, I didn't like that word. And so I got to thinking to myself, why don't I like that word? And I think religious brings some connotation or definition that I didn't really like. And so I told him, you know, I hope at the end of my days, people don't say, oh, Rip, he was real religious. Really, I don't. But you know what I do hope they'll say about me? You know that guy loved the way I think Jesus would love? That's what I really hope, and that's what I'm striving for. That I would love the way Jesus loves. Well, I'm going to give you a long theological piece here as I get because of illustration. But we're jumping into Hebrews now, and Hebrews is a really important book. It really lays out the identity, the character, and the work of who Jesus is, right? Which we said is important. And it says that it is Jesus who suffered and died that God might restore all humanity. And not only restore people, but God's creation as well. And the author, who we don't know, believes this as we read this author's writings, right? He believes this, and this is real important. All people are made in the image of God. Have I said that to you all lately? All people are made in the image of God. As such, we, who when God looks at us, sees God's self, are supposed to go out into the world and be bearers, right, of the image of God. People should see us and the way we behave and think that is the way God would be. Our lives are to be a reflection of God's glory. And in fact, it's our calling and our vocation. And I'm going to suggest to you, you better be clear about who you are and how that is in relation to Jesus if you're going to go out and do that in the world, right? Especially if we want to do it well. You know the old joke about the man, he was driving along and he's swerving all over the place and he's using hand signals, and I don't mean like he's going to turn right or left, you know what I'm saying? And this cop's following behind him and sees him and pulls him over, and of course the cop says, you know why I pulled you over? And the guy says, no, I have no idea why. And he says, because you're weaving all over the place and making hand signals and being a jerk, and I thought you must have stolen this car. And the guy says, why would you think that? This is my car. And it says, well, your bumper is filled with Jesus stickers, like I love Jesus and all that. And you're acting nothing like him. You know that joke, right? Well, the author understands that our ability to image God's glory was seriously crippled, right? It was crippled by our disobedience, by the shame that came with that. Think of the Garden of Eden, by sin, violence, death. And literally, it's from the Garden of Eden to last night's evening news, right? You see all these things going on. However, and this is the most important part, God did not scrap the whole project in us people. That's the most important thing. Instead, God has worked to restore all people and the world to its former glory in God's image, imaging God to the world. In fact, it says the fullness of God's work is found in Jesus, for in becoming a full human being and experiencing suffering, death, and resurrection, thus defeating sin and death, its consequence, we are being restored each and every day by the Holy Spirit to that fuller image, and we call this word sanctification. We are being made saints, saintly, right? You got that? Everybody understands that. None of that's confusing to y'all, is it? If it is, then let's talk. But anyway, that's really the basics, right? So now today in Hebrews, it says something really important. It says that Jesus' full humanity, while also being divine, assures us that we are all related. The author called us in there brothers and sisters. So each of you in here is my brother and sister. Each one out there is my brother and sister. Anywhere you go, they are, as my friend Eod calls them, cousins. We're all related because of Jesus. And then it says Jesus is in a unique position to empathize with us because he's been through the struggle. He's lived the fully human life, right? He's been through suffering and temptation and rejection and persecution. He's been through all of this. Okay, everybody clear. Restore us to image bearers. This is the work that God is doing. So now we have this week a guy who dies tragically. Y'all probably might have heard it in the news. His name's Kobe Bryant, right? So Kobe Bryant, I'll be honest with you, I've never been a fan of Kobe Bryant. So I'm going to tell you this, not because I'm a fan, but because I'm not a fan. But anyway, I'm really a fan of guess who? Michael Jordan. He comes along, Jordan, he wants to be Michael, and he tries to do all these stuff. And I thought, you're imitation. And he was kind of a punk. And then he went to Colorado one year. You may know this story. And he invited this woman to his room, and he raped her. Y'all know that story, right? And I just think about that, and I have a daughter, and I have a wife, I have a mom, I have this congregation of beautiful women in this church and men, and I think if someone did that to you, I would want to react and not kindly. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so yet, there was this post by one of my friends, and I tell you all this theology because as laity, you should know it, but as a priest friend of mine, this person should know it. And put out this post about their frustration with all the laud and honor to Kobe and all this, but not a lot of talk about him being a rapist, right? And went on about that. And in fact, another priest friend of mine said this in this post. Yeah, you just can't whitewash his life. You get that? You can't just whitewash his life. Well, that bothered me. In fact, I let it sit with me a couple days, and then I got to thinking, wait a minute. We have two great Save Jesus people in our biblical history. One is named Moses, and Moses was a murderer. And then we have a king named David, who we say is the greatest king of all time. And not only was he an adulterer, then he sent Uriah off to be murdered. And yet, somehow we laud them, don't we? Somehow they got whitewashed, didn't they? And then, I can't tell you how many funerals I've either been at or seen where this priest stands up here and talks about a person, and I'm telling you, there was a whole lot of whitewashing going on in that sermon. Are y'all with me? You've heard it. So I really got to thinking, there was even a comment about this guy, about Kobe's Catholic faith. And the question becomes, in the context of last week's sermon, repent for the kingdom of God, the forgiveness and the grace and the sanctification of God is at hand. And for all intents and purposes, I don't know what Kobe did. But I do know this. He went to church the morning before he died, is what I read in the paper. I don't really read the paper, but you know what I'm saying. I know that he and that those who talked about him and knew him most recently said he was a very dedicated family man. And as I read that, does that not sound like a repentant person? I don't hear any more accusations of him being a rapist. So in the context of what God does and who God is to restore us as image bearers, isn't it quite possible that he restored Kobe Bryant? Isn't it probable? Isn't that what we hope for? I have to be honest with you. Isn't it God's mission to heal the whole world? Didn't we say that? And in our culture, this is what I want you to think about. Are we rooting for reconciliation? Or are we living such that, here's my line, you cross the line, I have nothing to do with you again? Which one sounds like our culture? The latter. And as followers of Jesus, man, I got to hope that God changed his life and that of his family and friends, that grace abounds, that someone around him lived the mission, right? What the church is about. For that's what we're to do, is to go into the world and to be with people. So I'm going to ask you, when you watch politics and you watch things that go on and you watch these things in the world, who are you rooting against versus praying for? Sometimes I look at our world and our conversations, especially, and I'll be honest with you, I've heard them here, caught up in bearing the image of CNN or Fox News. Or being a Republican or a Democrat. And I want to ask us all this. What gospel are we preaching? Everywhere we go, everything we do, everything we say or write, what gospel are we preaching? I pray that we're imaging God in all that we do, that each of our lives will look like the Lord we proclaim we follow. For that is our image, to bear Christ to the world. It's our mission. I said that wrong. That is our mission, to image Christ to the world. Amen? Amen. I think the first service may have liked it, but I don't think they liked it that much because most people avoided me on the way out of the service. So.